Hey, everybody, welcome to the Baptist Biased. I'm your host, Pastor Shelley, and we're going to get started like we always do with our binologue.
Good evening to all you slave-owning, white supremacist, capitalistic, misogynistic, MAGA-loving, populist, nationalist, top 1% masters, and a dreary, dark night to all you oppressed, disadvantaged, photo ID challenged, overlooked, held down, slaves. Of course, that's what critical race theory would have you believe is the bleak description of 2022 America. But in fact, CRT is our only hope of forcing whites to finally realize how inherently and hopelessly evil they truly are due to their immutable skin color. Regardless of their behaviors and attitudes, they'll never be able to overcome their slave-owning DNA that they inherited from Pawpaw. You might be thinking, this sounds a little over the top. But if you think that, it's because you're in fact a racist. If you don't think you're a racist, but you're white, then you're definitely a racist. Let me help you confused whiteys realize how racist you truly are by pointing out all the ways you oppress your victims. Think of voter ID, for example. The villainous concept that voters must snag a pick in order to participate in the democratic process. Here's the problem. We all know black people are too poor and unintelligent to go get their picture taken. By not acknowledging that, you out yourself as a bigot. Did you not realize that the flash from a camera is white light? I said white light. Obviously a subliminal message coming from the white devils. Requiring black voters to prove who they are is just so untrusting as well. You ever think about that? You think black people like Jussie Smollett wouldn't be honest at the polls? The only exceptions to racist identification would be situations like driving a vehicle, passing through TSA, opening a bank account, going to a baseball game, renting a house, or virtually anything else. But black people obviously can't be expected to bring their ID to the ballot box. It would be too heavy for them to carry as they stand in line. You call yourself colorblind? And do you minimize race as some sort of superficial characteristic? According to CRT, that's still racist because you're ignoring bigotry. You support civil rights? According to CRT, that's still racist. We all know you're only doing it to advance white interests. You think all lives matter? According to CRT, that's still racist. You're ignoring the plight of minorities who are being hunted down, shot, and killed by police officers every single day. Nothing you ever do, white man, will ever change the fact that you victimize minorities simply by breathing air. There is no hope for you. There is no remedy. Critical race theory, I should say, says that you hated black people from the very moment that you came out of your mother's womb or were the twinkle in the eye of your father who obviously loved the KKK. It's the original sin of every white person who's ever been born. I guess I'll never understand because the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. Perhaps that's racist, too. Or perhaps it's just the Baptist bias.
That was a really exciting binologue, and I'm excited for this evening's show. We're dedicating our show to critical race theory. We want to talk about it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a guest with us this evening, and I'll let you think in your mind what he looks like. You know, maybe color me a racist or whatever, but that's the only way I view people is by their skin color. And so it's really, I'm just kidding. Obviously, this is just going to be a lot of fun tonight. You know, a lot of people take this issue extremely seriously. And obviously, we should take the evils of sin and the hatred towards race seriously. But I really feel like it's just a straw man argument that liberals and Democrats and politicians are pontificating about how they're not racist, when in fact, I find America not racist at all. Go up and down the street, you see every single color. You go into the store, every single color, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. The Bible doesn't care. People don't really care. It's honestly, it seems like if it wasn't for the news, nobody would even realize anyone was racist. And that's why it's really important that we address the nonsense of this CRT that's being promulgated by news wing media, by the leftists, by the Democrats, and even, in my opinion, the Republicans, who play into their hand and act as if this is some serious issue rather than just laughing it off. But we have Ben the Baptist is our co-host. Why don't you say hi?
I think you're just explaining away your own inherent white supremacy, actually. I think that's what we just witnessed there. But anyway, thanks for throwing it over to me. I appreciate it. It's going to be a fun show tonight. Episode 3 of The Baptist Bias, Critical Race Theory. Let's see how many lefties we can make cry themselves to sleep tonight.
Well, you know, and considering the fact that it's Black History Month, I want to do something to commemorate. I mean, we should have a little bit of fun, shouldn't we?
I believe so. Why not?
Let's see if we can get our guest on here to say hi to as well. We have with us Brother Marcel from our church. Hey, Marcel, how's it going?
How's it going?
You can hear us okay?
Yes, sir, I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. We're gonna do a little game here, and I'm gonna do the first game for Brother Marcel, and then we're gonna kind of do a joint game for both. It's gonna be a competition between you and Ben. We'll see who gives the best answers. But I'm gonna have you do a little game, and you didn't even know we were gonna do this, so you're just gonna be right on the hot spot. All right. So you gotta think. Uh-oh. Critically for me here, because this is critical race theory, all right? But I'm going to name a car, all right? And you have to tell me if you can envision a brother riding in this car. And what I mean by a brother, I'm talking about a Black guy. Because in honor of Black History Month, you know, we want to see what kind of vehicles our brothers are driving. So, you know, you can think of this as either yourself or your grandpa or whoever you want. But, you know, name of the game is give a brother a ride, all right? So I'm going to name a car, and you're basically going to give me a yay or a nay on if this is a car that you're going to give a brother a ride in, all right? You understand the game?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
You ready? Honda Civic.
Yep.
All right. Impala.
Yay. Yay.
Ford pickup.
No. Nay.
Subaru.
Nay.
That's like a hell no. Nah. How about a Jeep Wrangler?
Hell no. Nay.
Minivan.
No way.
How about a Volkswagen Beetle?
Hell no.
Acura Integra.
Nay. That's a maybe, but nay.
Cadillac Escalade.
It depends. If it's old with 30-inch rims, that could be a yay. But nay.
Hummer.
Nay.
Kia Soul.
Nay.
Camaro.
Yay.
A Porsche Cayenne.
Nay.
A Mercedes SL500.
Nay.
A taxi
cab.
Well,
that's a yay. It depends.
Okay.
Drug dealers, yeah. Nay.
How about a Ford Taurus?
Nay.
All right, and then my last one is this. Ultimate car. If you're gonna pull up, you got your best bud coming into town. What are you gonna pull up in? What are you gonna give him a ride in?
Ultimate car would be a Chevy with 30-inch rims.
Black or what color?
Probably red. Could be black.
What about an all-white Cadillac? Is that an option?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So we got let's consider a Honda Civic, but no to a Hummer. That's interesting. All right, we're gonna play another game here, and I want to see if our production crew can help me. Give me a thumbs up if you got this, but we're gonna play things that are black. Okay.
Oh boy, here we go.
Things that are black, and I wanna give you guys both an opportunity to get to give me some answers. And this is kind of rapid fire, okay? So don't feel free to answer, you know, very quickly.
Whatever comes to mind, I'm just gonna say.
Are we good? Can Marcel still hear us? Okay.
Yeah.
Can you mute it? Can you mute his audio so he can't hear us for just a second?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, buddy?
I can hear them right now, no.
Perfect. All right. Are you ready, Ben?
All right.
You're the next contestant.
I'm on the hot seat.
On the things that are black, all right?
Let's do it. So what, I just say yes or no?
It's going to be more of a, you know, you have to answer. It's just like an opening.
I got you. Okay.
Name a black actor.
Denzel Washington.
Black singer.
Does he have to be alive?
Just
Tupac.
Tupac. Black food. Okay.
Watermelon.
Name a food that black people like to eat.
Watermelon.
Name a restaurant you would associate with black people.
KFC.
Name a black word or phrase.
Homie.
Name a black athlete.
Russell Wilson.
Name a person who's donned blackface.
Justin Trudeau?
Name a black person movie.
Friday.
Name a black person clothing item.
Jean shorts.
Jean shorts. Name a black preacher.
Oh man, T.D. Jakes.
Name a job in which you would assume a black person would be working.
Oh boy. Lawyer.
All right. Let's give it a round of applause. Some of his answers, black singer, Tupac. We can tell that you need some work on this. But I think you did pretty good. I like it, homie.
All right.
You did okay. All right, now let's bring Marcel back on. We're gonna see how the real deal does on this. All right, are you ready for our game, Marcel?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, this is where you're going to name things that are black. It's not going to be a yay or a nay. You're going to actually have to think of an answer here. But try to be as rapid fire as you can, okay?
Yep.
First question. Name a black actor.
Bernie Mac.
Name a black singer.
Ashanti.
A food that black people eat.
Fried chicken.
Name a restaurant that black people eat at.
What's that breakfast spot? Waffle House.
Name a black word or phrase.
Ninja.
Name a black athlete.
You have LaDainian Tomlinson, Michael Jordan.
Name someone who's donned blackface.
What do you mean by that, donned blackface?
It's someone that is not black, but put on blackface.
Do you know someone who's not black, but put on blackface?
Yeah, can you think of any examples?
No, I know somebody who's black that put on a white face, Michael Jackson.
Okay. All right, name a black movie.
Don't Be a Menace to South Central, or Don't Be a Menace.
Name an item of clothing that black people wear.
Item of clothing. Jordans.
Name a black preacher.
Creflo Dollar.
Name a job in which you would expect the person to be black.
KFC.
All right. Congratulations. Good job.
Good job. Good job. Good job, Marcel.
So this is what we've learned, okay? We've learned that some black stereotypes ring true no matter who you are.
That's true.
And black people don't care about white people putting on blackface, obviously. So we'll give you Ben's answers, all right? Ben, black actor Denzel, black singer Tupac, which I had to help him, it's Tupac. Black food, watermelon. Black restaurant, KFC. So there's a ding ding winner. Black word or phrase, homie.
There
now,
you go.
Now we need you. Is that legit? Would you ever call someone homie?
Yeah.
That was kind of weak. All right.
I think it's transformed to bro.
See, my favorite word is finna. I think that's legit. All right. Black
yeah,
athlete,
that word is ringing.
He said Russell Wilson. A person that's done blackface, he did Justin Trudeau. We talked about this a couple days ago, so that's probably helped him. There's a lot of other people that you could think of, like Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm.
He did Karl Malone, the basketball player.
I didn't know that.
You also have, there's a movie with, I don't know why I all of a sudden forgot his name. It's like a military movie.
Harrison Ford.
No, I'll think of it here in a minute.
You can Google it.
Yeah,
you know the title. I Google it right now for you.
I can't remember. It's kind of a spoof military movie, and it's the guy that was like the Iron Man guy. What's the main actor for Iron Man?
I'll tell you in a second here.
It is.
I know the one that do a lot of spoof is the
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. That's who it was. He did it. So, all right. Black movie, he said Friday. Now that seemed pretty legit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I have to say that was a pretty.
I've actually watched that.
That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, that's actually number one. That's number one.
Now you said black clothing item Jordans. I totally agree with this. What about Ben's answer? He said jean shorts. Have you ever seen a black guy?
Yeah,
wear
they
jean
wear that all
shorts?
The time.
Maybe like baggy jeans.
No, they wear shorts under. They always wear shorts under their jeans or shorts under their pants. Mm. That's like a custom.
They have like saggy.
But it's never jean shorts.
I should have said basketball shorts.
Basketball shorts.
That would have been more accurate.
That wasn't very good.
That was just
they wear basketball shorts all the time under their pants.
He said black preacher, T.D. Jakes. Now that was legit.
That's a good one.
Okay. And then I said name a job in which you expect the person to be black. Ben said lawyer. How do you rate that answer, Marcel?
Zero.
Yeah, I
saw it in a commercial once. I was watching a commercial for law school, and the person was black that was getting their bar degree or whatever. So,
all right. Well, again, I'm just trying to start the show on
they
a light
foot.
Hey, it's Black History Month, so we got to celebrate, you know, black people. You know, I just want to know this, though. Marcel, do you feel special because there's an entire month dedicated to black people?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's not like I'm getting discounts at every store.
Did you feel like in January it was white person month or something?
No.
Here's a question. Should we have an Asian history month?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, we get all of our products from them.
We owe them.
Yeah, it is like, basically it's a celebration of China every time we buy anything, right? Yeah. Made in China. I guess it's just silly to me. It's funny that we just forget all other races exist for history. Where's Hispanic culture?
I think it exists. History month? Is it? There is a Hispanic month. I'm almost positive. I'll Google it right now.
Okay, look that up. What about Native American month? Is there Native American
I don't know about
month?
That one. What about Indian? There ought to be Indian month.
Okay. Well, okay. I have one more game for you, okay? And this one I'm going to let y'all play at the same time.
I think
right?
It's in September.
Y'all can just spit out your answer of what you think. But this one's not as defined. So you're either going to name the race, country, or area that comes to mind first when I say a particular food. So acceptable answers would be things like white, black, Hispanic, Texas, Germany, China, Asian. Basically, just whatever comes to your mind first when it's associated with that particular food. Y'all kind of have an idea where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Simple enough.
All right. Watermelon.
Black.
Spam.
Black. White.
That's white. I mean, you can't get more white than that.
PB&J.
White.
White.
Pineapple.
Hawaii. We could do regions, right?
Yeah.
Hawaii.
I'll say America because like, we eat a lot of pineapple over here.
Sauerkraut.
That's white.
I'm going to say white.
Fried chicken.
I mean, Harlem, New York.
Black.
Black.
Crickets.
India.
John the Baptist.
Oh, that's
India.
Caviar.
Italy.
White.
Italy? Coconut.
I don't know. European.
Coconut. I'm going to say Hawaii again.
Tropical.
Tropical. That's a good one.
Syrup.
Canada.
There we go. Hey, Canada.
Yeah. I'll follow your answer.
All right.
Canada.
Syrup. Shrimp.
Jamaica.
You say white.
Gumbo.
Louisiana.
Crepes.
France.
So I don't even know what that is.
You don't even know what that is?
Well, it's obviously not black people.
Are those like those?
Marcel, it's pretty good. I'll take you
for it. In the words of Ricky Bobby, it's really thin pancakes,
essentially. It's pretty good.
All right, chocolate.
Okay. I mean, that's multicultural.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Woman.
The global. Women.
Vodka.
Russia.
The.
White.
Pepsi.
That's a white drink.
Mm.
That's a white
drink. I'll say my wife. She loves it.
I think it's kind of... I feel like a lot of the people that have advertised Pepsi are like black singers. I don't know. How about coffee?
It was on the commercials.
Coffee, that's a white drink.
Too. Definitely white.
Yeah, that's a white drink.
Sausage.
What comes? I don't even know what comes to mind. I'm gonna say white. That's another white. That's a white food right there.
Yeah, steak. I go with white too.
Steak. I think that's another white food. Pastor Shelley. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, and he's white, so white person food. There you go.
All right. Thanks, guys, for playing with me. All right. So I think we can get started. What is CRT? Because I'm just having fun here this evening, but obviously people are taking this pretty seriously. And, you know, I kind of feel like the more you act like it's a really serious thing, the kind of the more you plane their hand and you kind of make it seem legitimate. Whereas I feel like if we just kind of celebrate our differences and just don't care about these boxes that they try to put us in, it really just kind of makes it null and void. It kind of helps you just kind of ignore it and make it seem stupid like it is. But, you know, in order to figure out what we're talking about, Ben, don't you kind of have a clip or don't you have something you can kind of talk to us about? What is this CRT?
I do have a clip. And before we go to it, I wanted to give a quick background on critical race theory. Derek Bell, the professor of law at New York University, is the movement's intellectual father figure. That's what I was able to find in my research. He was an American lawyer, professor, and civil rights activist, died in 2011. The New York Times said this about him, said he was a pioneer of critical race theory, a body of legal scholarship that explored how racism is embedded in laws and legal institutions, even many of those intended to redress past injustices. His 1973 book, Race, Racism, and American Law, became a staple in law schools and is now in its sixth edition. So it's essentially identity politics on steroids. That's what CRT is in layman's terms. It's basically the idea that racism is not just something that occurs between individuals, but rather is inherent in society itself. It is systemic. That's what they believe. And I believe it is an offshoot of Marxist ideology as well. We have a short clip that I think outlines what this is, according to the official narrative at least, which if we can get a thumbs up whenever that's ready, and it is ready, so let's play it now so you guys can see what I'm talking about.
Around nearly 50 years, but has gained mainstream recognition only recently. African-American legal scholars developed it, expressing the belief that racism is not simply individual acts of prejudice. They say it's bigger than that. It's embedded into the United States' legal and social systems. The U.S. has paid more attention to racism in recent years. In 2019, the New York Times published its Pulitzer Prize-winning 1619 Project, which covered the legacy of slavery in the U.S. In 2020, the murder of George Floyd by police officer Derek Chauvin gave fuel to the Black Lives Matter movement, a protest against the unjust killing of black people by police. Conservative voices reacted to the focus on racism. In 2020, then-President Donald Trump announced he would stop funding federal training on diversity and critical race theory. In 2021, at least five states passed new laws or took other action to regulate classroom discussion of racism and critical race theory. Others are considering similar legislation. Lawmakers from the Republican Party initiated the new bills. Their supporters say a focus on race might further divide Americans and worsen race relations. Liberals say it's a mistake to forbid discussion of an important societal issue. The controversy over critical race theory could become an issue in the November 2022 midterm elections.
And there you go. So here are a few of their tenets. Racism is inherent in society. Like I said, it's systemic. Not something that occurs simply between individuals. They also believe in something called interest convergence. And this is basically what this means, that when white people begin to get involved in civil rights action, they're only doing it because white interests are converging with black interests. So whenever, I should say, the only time that black people are able to achieve civil rights goals is because their goals align with white interests. Objectivity, they believe, is impossible, so they would reject, CRT advocates would, the idea of there being any sort of objective truth. And they also believe that color blindedness, so-called, quote-unquote, actually perpetuates racism. You heard me mocking that in the Benelog segment. So what do I mean by that? Examples of color blindedness, what I found online, would be statements like this. I don't see color, I just see people. We're all just people. I don't care if you're black, white, green, or purple, polka dotted. Hashtag all lives matter. These are all examples of color blindedness that they say is wrong. It says, while color, this is from a critical race theory, sort of some writings from CRT advocates. They say, while color blindedness sounds good in theory, in practice, it is highly problematic. Again, they believe that it perpetuates racism. So that's what CRT is in a nutshell. It's being taught in the government, within the government. It's being taught in public schools across the country as well, despite the fact that the left will deny that. And it is, I think, furthering the divide between races, something that honestly people shouldn't take so serious. You know what I take seriously? My faith. I take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. I take the Word of God seriously, not what color I am. But that's CRT in a nutshell, Pastor Shelley.
I appreciate that you showed us that video just to give us some kind of idea. But you know what I find amusing about video clips like this and about explanations is they always seem to be inherently hypocritical, even in their own video.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what's funny, I hadn't seen this video before, but they start in 1619 and they talk about, you know, the oppression and the slavery of black people. And then it immediately fast forwards to 2020, like over 400 years later, which some people don't even realize how long 400 years are. I mean, America didn't even exist as it is today 400 years ago. I mean, we didn't even have the sovereign states of the United States. We were under British rule, and we've completely declared independence from British rule. But they also said in their video that CRT is not about individual acts of racism, but rather a systemized law system, either in the social system or in the political or in the government. But then they point to Derek Chauvin, who has been convicted of, I think, like either first or second degree homicide, maybe it was third degree.
I can fact check.
A lot of really high charges against the individual George Floyd. And I really fail to see their narrative being crafted correctly, because they claim it's not an individual act of racism, but then they point to an individual act of racism. They didn't point to a law. They didn't point to some government institution. They didn't point to some particular example that's a broad scale. They just pointed to one particular incident. And again, even that particular incident, you know, Derek Chauvin was actually called in to handle a disturbance where other police officers are trying to arrest George Floyd. He was resisting arrest, and then they were called in as backup. I really fail to see how Derek Chauvin, you know, orchestrated and planned the killing of a black man on purpose by getting called in to help someone that was resisting arrest. Now, arguably, you know, there's a lot of debate on the methods at which he used to detain George Floyd. Was it appropriate? Did he follow his training? Was he potentially doing something negligent or purposeful? I think there's a lot of speculation there. I personally don't think that any of the actions he took were inherently racist, but you know, that's obviously, some people would strongly disagree. But they can't point to any objective law that says, you know, all black people are bad, let's kill them, let's put knees on their necks, or, you know, there is no such law. There is no such factoid that they have in their favor. You know, if the entire United States just has laws that are discriminating against people that are black, you know, maybe I can't see it because I'm white, right? Like, I just live this privileged life, and I just float on this fairy tale of just, I have all these privileges and all these things just handed to me on a silver platter, so I just can't see it. So we have a guest with us, Brother Marcel, who, you know, he looks black to me. Now, according to Joe Biden, he's not black because he didn't vote for him, but spoiler alert. But I think that Marcel is black. You know, prove me wrong. But I want to ask you, Marcel, what laws have you encountered? What governmental systems have you encountered that you felt like you were personally being discriminated because you're black? And let me caveat this. I did not give Marcel any prep. So, you know, I'm just here to hear the truth. So what obvious black discrimination from the legal system have you received, Marcel? I want to hear it.
Yeah, I don't have any. I mean, I have all the same opportunities as everybody else in America to do as I please. So I have nothing holding me back to do anything I would like.
Now, here's the thing. Did America, like, pay you money to come on the show tonight and say that? Or like, do you love America? Do you think America's like the greatest place ever and you would never say anything negative about America? I mean, how could you get on the show and just immediately say you haven't been racially discriminated against?
I mean, I can easily say I'm not racially discriminated against because about 2 weeks ago, I just got pulled over by a white officer and, you know, is going home from church. And guess what? They let me go. They didn't give me no ticket. They didn't arrest me. They didn't, you know, pound me to the pavement. So, and obviously, I
didn't shoot you.
You know, America's the greatest place in this planet, but yeah, I know.
You mean he didn't plant drugs on you and then slam you on the ground and put his knee on your neck? You know, every time I get pulled over, and this is all anecdotal, every time I get pulled over, they don't even ask me. They don't even say, like, sir, do you know how fast you're going or why were you speeding? They're just like, where's your license? And then they're just like, come back, here's your ticket. I'm just like, I don't even get a chance. I don't even get an opportunity to say anything.
Can't even plead your case?
I mean, do I look black or what is it? What is it about me?
You can't even plead your case.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though.
I mean, to myself, surely I was going to get arrested or something.
Yeah, but here's the thing. From my previous question, do you think that America is just like super great and wonderful and you would never say anything negative about it?
No, I don't think it's super great. I mean, I think there's a lot of problems with America in and of itself. I mean, when it comes to the justice system, you know, slack and a lot of propaganda that's being pushed down our throats and how they're trying to strip away our rights, our freedoms. So there's a lot of problems, you know.
So you see issues in the justice system. You're not saying that it's perfect or you have this rosy colored view of life.
Well, I mean, obviously everybody has their biases, but you know, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. So, I mean, God's law is perfect when it's implemented, but the justice system is not perfect. I mean, they'll arrest somebody who's doing, you know, that's a drug dealer for a long period of time, but they'll let a rapist go scot-free. In most cases, it'll give them a slap on the wrist. So, you know, that's a big issue there. Trying to make people take the vaccines. I mean, what if I don't want it?
Well, let's play a fun hypothetical, and I'll let Ben think of a question here too that he can ask you. But let's say you got to change something about the justice system, something about the legal system. What would be that? And it doesn't have to be your perfect answer, just something that you really would like to see changed. Do you see it as some kind of a racial reform, or is there some other change that you would like to see being made?
I mean, I would just like to just carry out sentences in the first place. I mean, just actually do justice, because I feel like there's no justice across the board or, you know, proper justice.
So just enforce the laws that are already on the books. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like if they say they're going to put somebody to death, actually put them to death.
That would be a great thing to do. Just like keep your word, right?
Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's one of the first, maybe the Fifth Amendment or, you know, a speedy trial, right? I mean, most trials, I mean, they take years on end just to get a sentence. So, I mean, that'll be good just to follow that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Derek Chauvin trial was like over a year from the actual incident. And, I mean, that's a lot of time. And, I mean, it was a pretty high-profile case, but it seems like a lot of cases are years even. You know, but I guess when black people can't use the internet, like Joe Biden said, then, you know, it makes it really difficult.
I have what he was convicted of.
Yeah. What was the,
so he was convicted of second degree. This is Derek Chauvin, the guy who put the knee on George Floyd. Second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. Is okay. What he was convicted of.
So it's like second and third and then some other charges.
Right.
Wow. Well, here's the thing that I find amusing is that the people that are championing this CRT and you know, believing that our entire government is just so racist. They seem to be the most racist people on the planet. In fact, some of the things that Joe Biden say, you know, it really ekes out his kind of hatred and despite towards black people. But there's a pretty amusing clip that I found. I want to see if we can get Tim to pull this up for us. It's clip number A that I have. It was a YouTube video. It's really short, but you know, Joe Biden has a particular persona of what black people are like. We already played our game of what black people are like. You know, they like watermelon. They like fried chicken. You know, they have different car interests. You know, they like the Civic. I really surprised me. But let's see what Joe Biden thinks of black people. Let's go ahead and play this.
People don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccine.
So back when they were talking about COVID vaccine mandates, Joe Biden was trying to say that black people don't know how to get online in order to figure out where they can go to get their COVID vaccine. And so some black guy made a video of himself trying to figure out how to use the internet. It's cool how he could make a video and put it on the internet of how he couldn't get on the internet.
Maybe a white person was filming.
I don't know who that is, but he deserves subs, okay, to his channel. Yeah. That was legit.
I'm not sure who that is either.
Is that how it is? Is that your perception, Marcel? When you meet black people, do you find that they don't know how to use the internet or social media?
I mean, that was the furthest thing I've ever thought, but I should have called Ben to come start my computer up for me, you know?
if I walked into a room and you know, it's a diverse group. It's a white guy, a black guy, an Asian guy, Hispanic guy. You know, we got all creeds, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. They're all standing there, and I say, all right, I need all of y'all to go to my website, but you black guys come over here. I'll show you what the internet is. Would you feel like that was racist?
I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
I mean, how can these guys get away with saying that our entire government is racist? Republicans just hate black people and white, you know, everyone that's white doesn't even realize how racist they are. And then they get up and literally say that black people can't even use the internet. I mean, what could be more racist? There's other funny clips. Joe Biden said that black kids are just as smart. Do you remember that? It's like black kids are just as smart as white kids.
Something like that. I don't.
Black kids are just as smart as poor kids. What?
Let me find it.
White kids are just as smart as poor kids. Okay. We'll have to look that one.
Poor kids are just as bright. Let me see. Poor kids are just as bright as white kids.
That's what it is. That's okay. Poor kids are just as bright as white kids. Sorry for all the tongue twisters there. I mean, so what's the implication? The implication is that people that are poor are not white.
Not white.
I mean, I've never even met a white person that's poor. Have you ever met a white
never
person?
Never one time. Yeah. Well, Bernie Sanders said that white people don't know what it's like to be poor. That's a famous quote from Bernie Sanders.
That was a pretty good impression, I have to admit.
Well, thanks.
Poor kids are just as smart as white kids. That, I mean, look, the racism just ekes out of these guys' mouths, and it's pretty sad. Now, I had another clip that I wanted to show. If go to clip number B, it's a CNN clip, and I want to go to the 5 minute 25 second mark here. And CNN's really the reliable source of information. They, you know, only report on the truth. I think their top reporter, his show's called Reliable Sources, Brian Stelter. Mm-hmm. And he would never distort the truth. But there is a clip. They kind of sent a reporter out to find out, you know, what people think about critical race theory. And they're asking him certain questions. And she's basically just asking random people what they think about CRT or what it means. But before we play this clip, I want to say that I've watched several videos on different people that are experts telling us what CRT is, and they all seem to have a pretty different view. They all kind of seem to bend it to their liking. So I don't believe that there's just a one shoe fits all definition for this particular phrasing, word, model, or how people use it. But that's certainly what they want to try and shape in this documentary. But what I really want to do, though, is I want to show you how the propaganda works, because CNN is a propaganda network. Okay, it's the Communist News Network, as I've always heard it referred to. But let's play about a minute of this clip, and then I want to kind of address something that they bring up.
It is critical race theory.
Critical race theory is the idea that's taught to our nation's youth that the way that you're born contributes to the amount of success that you can achieve in this country. It basically states that white people are born with everything, and if you're not white, you're born with nothing.
Can you name any critical race theory scholars?
Probably not.
Can you name any critical race theory concepts?
I don't know what the concepts are. I think I summarized critical race theory as a whole pretty well.
To paint the country as a inherently racist country from its founding, I think is dangerous.
The three-fifths compromise is written into the Constitution, in which slaves are counted as three-fifths of a person.
Of course, and that was applied at an earlier time. That is not the case now, obviously.
Well, you just mentioned the founding of the country, so.
Well, yeah, it wasn't perfectly written in the Constitution.
When did you first hear about critical race theory?
Sometime around last year.
Where'd you see it?
I'm on Fox News. The idea that you can succeed based on your race is ludicrous. This is not the 1960s anymore. Just because of your skin color does not mean that you cannot be successful here in America. Point blank, period.
I teach these books for my anthropology class.
Are you teaching white kids to...
So she pulls three individuals out, and she's trying to make them look bad, that they don't really understand what CRT is, that Fox News is misleading them and trying to malalign CRT teachers. What's kind of funny about that clip, too, is it does the same thing where they start the clip by saying, no one's teaching CRT. It's not happening. No, this is not happening in the schools. And then that last lady she was talking to is like, yeah, I teach CRT to our students, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, okay, well, that dispels that right away. But if you go to article letter C, Brother Tim, I want to pull up the Constitution, because she brought up the three-fifths compromise. And what's funny is she does the same thing that Joe Biden does by saying that poor kids are just as smart as white kids. She brings up the fact that in the U.S. Constitution, there was a particular clause given that slaves would be counted as three-fifths a person. But here's what she didn't say. She didn't say that black people count as three-fifths of a person. She said that slaves count as three-fifths of a person. And what she did is she decided that every slave is always a black person, or that it's somehow denoted on race only. Basically, she's the racist. Basically, she's the one that sees race with particular words and brings it up there, because this three-fifths doesn't bring that up whatsoever. Now, let's read a little bit of this. It says, representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union, according to the respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years and excluding Indians not taxed, three-fifths of all other persons. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States and within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct. And then it kind of goes on and kind of explains the different states. But where did it say black people? In fact, the only race that's even mentioned, or, you know, group of people, would be Indians. But the reason why Indians are brought up is because Indians weren't really assimilated into the culture. They weren't really part of the United States, yet they still would live on the territory or be in that region. So they're just being excluded from the fact that they count in the census, quote unquote. So there's two aspects of that. One is that they get counted in regards to representation, meaning that they count for voting. They count in the number of representatives that state gets to send forth for elected positions. And then secondly, how much they're going to tax the people in the area. And they're just simply saying that we don't really view the slave population as being a good number for what's going to be represented in Congress or whatever. So they only gave them about 3/5 of the portion. Now, whether that's right or wrong, you know, that's how they decided. I don't really care. But to say that that's racist, really, there's nothing racist about it. It doesn't say anything about race. Did you see race there, Brother Ben?
No, I mean, there were no races brought up whatsoever. She was just ascertaining that because the word slave is used, that that automatically meant that it was referring to black people. And I think it's kind of this piety of the left and people who are race obsessed is they almost look down at minority. I'm talking about white, appletini sipping limousine liberals. Look down at minority populations, whether they're Hispanic, black, you name it. They pat them on the head and patronize them and talk down to them. They're very condescending. I would be very offended if I was a black person at the way that the left, the messaging that they choose to use, the way the left communicates with them. And I think it was evident with that Joe Biden clip we played earlier where he, you know, was trying to say that black people are too unintelligent to use a computer.
Yeah, I mean, his quotes about Barack Obama are things like, he's like the first well-articulated black man that he's ever seen or something like that. I mean, I like this point that you brought up. It's almost like they look at all black people or minorities as just inherently flawed and they can't succeed. They're just not succeeding. They're all poor and stupid and they can't succeed in life. And that there's some reason why that's being caused. Rather than noticing that there's plenty of successful black people. There's plenty of, you know, well-articulated, well-educated, you know, productive members of society that are of all colors. And it's not like every race is black or white either. There's obviously all kinds of other groups like Asians and Hispanics and everything like that. But I want to pull up an article and I want to get Marcel's thoughts here for a moment. But when you went to school, Brother Marcel, when you were being educated, because you went to public school, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you graduated from high school. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you took, I'm assuming, U.S. history or classes about the United States history. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're just remembering, okay? It doesn't have to be perfect. Did you ever hear about white people being slaves in public school?
No, what's ironic was, I was just going to bring that up. I've never heard about that in public schools. It was always taught that black people were the slaves, but if you actually do your own research outside of the public school system, you'll find out that one of the first slaves, you know, one of the first slaves was a white man, and one of the first slave owners was a black man. So, I mean, that's not something they teach in the public schools. I had to learn that on the side.
Now, Brother Tim, I want you to pull up an article for me, Article C. And it's kind of an interesting article that I was looking at. And I don't want to downplay the fact that lots and lots of black people were obviously shipped to America and a lot of them were forced into slavery. But it's interesting how we completely ignore the fact that that's not the only people that were enslaved from a historical perspective. This article, which I found pretty interesting, I'll just read just kind of the first few lines here, but it says, slavery in America, typically associated with blacks from Africa, was an enterprise that began with the shipping of more than 300,000 white Britons to the colonies. That's a lot of people. I mean, we're not talking about, like, you know, obviously you could say, oh, there was one white guy and there's millions of black people, then, you know, we can make it a black issue. But for it to be 300,000 white Britons being brought in, that's a pretty sizable number. And in fact, this article even goes on to say, a little bit further down, it says, these white slaves in the New World consisted of street children plucked from London's back alleys, prostitutes, and impoverished migrants searching for a brighter future and willing to sign up for indentured servitude. Convicts were also persuaded to avoid lengthy sentences and executions on their home soil by enslavement in the British colonies. the much maligned Irish viewed as savages worthy of ethnic cleansing and despised for the rejection of Protestantism, also made up a portion of America's first slave population, as did Quakers, Cavaliers, Puritans, Jesuits, and others. And this is another thing that's interesting, you know, that a lot of people that were put as slaves were heretics. Like, the heretics were the people that were put as slaves initially and viewed very derogatory. The Catholic Church had done similar things in, you know, the Dark Ages and through some of their crusades, the horrible atrocities that they would do to people that simply didn't, you know, follow their religion. And really, racism or prejudice or slavery, all these things, it's not just a white people hate black people issue. You know, that's really just so far from reality or truth. And I want to play one more clip, and then I want to get you guys' thoughts. There is a YouTube video here. It's clip letter C, and it's play around 27 minutes, 45 seconds. There's some other facts about black slaves specifically in American history that this one lady brings up that's from this article. I'm going to highly recommend you check out that article. It's therayfield.com. But if we can get that YouTube video pulled up, here you go, perfect. Let's play about 30 seconds of this clip here.
Abundant proof found in various court records and legislative petitions. According to historian R. Halliburton Jr., there were approximately 599 free blacks in the United States. 1830, okay, this is 35 years before slavery was abolished, right? Yet, at the same time, there were 3,775 free blacks who owned 12,740 black slaves.
So she brings up some of the history. She says, and to give you context, we're fast forwarding from the 1600s, which that one article brought up, oh, the horrible atrocities of the 1600s, and they skipped to 2020 America. In the 1600s, we had over 300,000 white slaves. We fast forward to the 1830s, which she's bringing up the fact that this is 30 years before Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, before we have essentially what's considered, you know, the civil rights initial, you know, movement or the initial push to free black people, where we see 320,000 black people are already free. But then of those freed, she brings up the fact that 3,000 of those men that are free, that are black, own black slaves themselves. Up to 12,000 black slaves are owned by other black people. And yet, we have legislators, we have senators, we have governors, we have House representatives saying that we need to pay black people in this country the reparations that they deserve from their ancestors being black. How does that work? How do we know that those black people weren't the black people owning the other black people? How do we know that the black people weren't owning the white people? Do we need to pay reparations to the Irish? You know, I mean, what if you find out that on your mom's side, you owned your dad's side? Do you have to pay reparations to yourself? I mean, how does this even work? It's really just nonsense. And it's just a way to destroy our economy by increasing inflation is what my opinion is.
I think it's also an attempt at virtue signaling. And this is something that narcissists are very concerned with, is their self-image and their reputation. And I think leftist ideology is, you don't talk about inherent racism, I think it's inherently narcissistic. And so they want a virtue signal about how anti-racist they are and how loving and tolerant they are toward minority groups by advocating for offering them free gifts and money to make up for slavery, which, as you just pointed out, if you look at the facts, if you look at history, there were white slaves, there were black slave owners, there were black slave owners owning other black slave owners. But regardless of that, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that we have to pay for the sins of our forefathers. And so if I did have ancestors who were racist or who owned black people, I don't advocate for that today. I think that's horrible. I think it's horrifying. I would never want that to be a part of any society. And that ought to be enough. You know, we ought to allow people to repent and to get things right in this area. But when it comes to CRT and advocates of this theory and those who are race obsessed, there is no forgiveness. That's why apologizing to the woke mob never yields any sort of forgiveness whatsoever, and you should never do it.
Well, you know, like you said, the Bible says in Ezekiel 18:19, yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live. So God makes it clear that the Son should not bear the sins of his Father when he's doing that which is right, when he's cleaned up his act. And, you know, I really just don't even know how true it is, but I'm interested. Brother Marcel, you obviously, you know, probably have some ancestors that were, you know, black, okay? Have you had any parents or grandparents or anybody tell you of an actual real life experience when they were a slave? I'm just genuinely interested.
No, I have no stories of that at all. So my relatives, they are derived from the Dominican Republic. So, you know, the history of that was blacks and Spaniards, and they're all mixed together. You know, but I'm pretty sure there were slaves, you know, at that time as well. But I don't have no stories that I could tell. But I know.
Wait a minute.
I don't even know anybody that I associate.
So you're a black guy, and your roots aren't even from America?
No.
So how about this? So we're gonna give money to black people in America that weren't even their roots aren't even from America. But we're going to give them money for the slavery that happened in America. Doesn't that make sense, Ben?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you could see the logic. It shines through. But yeah, it's an attempt at virtue signaling.
I mean, I guess, you know, why wouldn't people from Jamaica or Kenya or any of these other countries move to America so that they can get reparations for the sins of white people against other black people that they don't even know, that they never even met? I mean, doesn't that make perfect sense?
Oh, no, it makes absolutely no sense. And what about this in Ezekiel 18? Doesn't it also say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die? So there's the individual, my point is for bringing that up, there's the individual responsibility, right? And that also flies in the face of the concept of reparations. We have responsibility over our own actions, over the sins that we commit, over the transgressions that we fall into ourselves, and shouldn't be held accountable for something that happened hundreds of years ago that we don't even believe right now. In fact, I would venture to say 99.9999999% of white people repudiate slavery in 2022.
Well, and from a biblical perspective, if we actually found someone who was selling men into slavery,
right,
or selling women into slavery, what would the biblical punishment be? Well, in Exodus 21:16, the Bible says, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. If we're actually going to end slavery, why aren't we just putting these people to death? I mean, that's what the Bible actually says, and that's how I feel. Instead of doing reparations, why don't we just kill the sellers of slaves? And how about those sex traffickers? Why aren't we so concerned with them?
Yeah, I think in Revelation 18, when it describes, exactly, when it uses that word slave with regard to the destruction of Babylon, I think you could apply that to what you just mentioned, the horrifying nature of that kind of slavery. And yeah, we ought to put those people to death. That's the ultimately, you're going to have a biblical solution to this issue, which is the law of God. But isn't it funny, Pastor Shelley, that as we appeal to the Bible in order to advance this conversation tonight, some people would point to the Bible and say, well, that promotes slavery.
Well, you know, there's preachers that have fallen victim to this CRT crap, is what I would call it. You know, David Platt, who used to be the president of the International Missions Board for the Southern Baptist Convention, he has a large church in the quote-unquote Bible Belt. I think it's Alabama. We have to look that up. But he had a pretty large church, yet he's kind of fallen victim to CRT, saying that they're all racist and that they don't even realize it. And I think he mentioned that the next pastor he's going to ordain, he's just going to ordain the guy has to be black, basically. He's like, it's not going to be based on who's the most, you know, based on merit or who deserves it the most, but rather just, we've just overlooked all these black people and not given them opportunities. So we just need to put a black guy in charge because that's the right thing to do. But to me, how is that not racist? How is it not racist to say for, you know, Joe Biden to say the next Supreme Court justice is going to be a black woman? That's also sexist. You know, the guy's like a feminist, the feminist version of misogyny. I can't remember. Now, I can't.
Misandry.
Yeah. Misandrist or something like that. I think he's a misandrist or whatever. But why are we just deciding what people are going to do based on their color of their skin? You know, I think the Bible clearly teaches that there is no race. I can't find that in my Bible. I've never seen that in my Bible. You know, we're all of one blood, according to the Bible. And the Bible says very clearly that God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care about someone's height, their skin color, their hair color. He looks on the inward man. And, you know, whenever I decide to put someone in leadership, I think it's best to figure out if they're filled with the Spirit of God rather than what color skin they are. In fact, whenever I came into Steadfast, and you guys can appreciate this, you guys can be witnesses for this, but when I was coming into Steadfast, I was going to be in charge of a church plant in Jacksonville, Florida. And frankly speaking, I didn't really know anybody over there very well at all. But I felt like they needed leadership right away, and I was throwing out their old leadership, who was just a complete loser. And because he was being tossed aside for just, you know, probably stealing money and being a heretic and being a loser, I needed to put someone in charge. So I basically just asked everyone in the church. I said, hey, just rate everybody in the church. Give me your top three guys. Just put the names down. You just can't put your own name. And I asked several different men that were kind of respected in the church and just said, hey, give me a name. They gave me the name, and I put the guy in charge. And I'll be honest, I didn't get any screenshots. I didn't get any snap pics. I didn't know, you know, what color skin this guy was. And, you know, by the name, you probably could have guessed. But, you know, it doesn't really matter to me what color skin someone is. And it's not a white or black issue because, you know, how do you even determine what's a black person? I mean, I think that Marcel's black. He doesn't even think he's black. So how do we even decide what's a black person or what's a white person? You know, and we seem to forget about Asians. And I have one more clip I kind of want to get to, and then we'll kind of, you know, get some more Bible here from you guys to kind of finish the show. But go, if you can go to clip letter D. I noticed some of the commenters in here are haters, as they're like, oh, Pastor Shelley said number A or number, you know, it's like, give me a break, okay?
Well, you fixed it though, so it's okay.
Letter A. It's always, you always, that's the part of the show. You know, it's like, we didn't listen to anything.
Just but we letter versus number
A. Yeah, I mean, that was the most important part. Let's see if we can get this one more clip here. And I apologize for not getting a timestamp for you, Brother Tim. We might need to skip around on this for a second.
I think it's the whole clip, though. Is it the Fox News?
It's 4 minutes. I don't think we really want to play all 4 minutes of this.
Yeah, we could find.
Let's just go to about 45 seconds, and then I'll tell you when we can stop.
Racial caste system, whites on the top, blacks on the bottom, but they have no idea what to do with Asian Americans, because Asian Americans are a minority. You know, they have been discriminated against in this country, and yet they succeed and they achieve. And that I think, inconveniences the critical race theory narrative today, and that's why I wrote this book.
You make the argument that if America is systemically racist, as many proponents of critical race theory believe, how is it that Asian Americans have flourished and in many cases overtaken whites in terms of level of education and socioeconomic status? So how is it? How is it that Asian Americans flourish in this country?
It has to do with culture. You know, Asian Americans study twice as many hours as the average American. Today, we always talk about The Tiger Mother. You know, that was Amy Chua's famous book. But it's not just Tiger Mother parenting. It's also strong two-parent family structures. It's a strong value on education. It's a love for hard work and for meritocracy. And that's at stake with critical race theory, because critical race theory is anti-meritocratic. It believes that merit is racist. So if policies like Harvard's discrimination against Asian Americans are allowed, guess who loses out? Well, it's the hardworking Asian Americans that work so hard to get their spot.
Which brings me to my next point, because we now see the emergence, Harvard and other places, of attempts to limit Asian American enrollment in some of these prestigious educational institutions. That would appear to be the very definition of systemic racism, to limit the number of people who can get in on a merit-based program in order to keep up levels of enrollment of other people.
You know, I analyzed 90,000 pages of Harvard admissions data. And stretching back for 30 years, Asian Americans have been kept at a cap at admissions between 15 and 18% of the student body. That has only recently changed. And, you know, Harvard's own estimate said that if Asians were not discriminated against, they would be 43% of the student body. Now, people are saying, well, is that too many Asians? Well, I say, I'm indignant at that claim. I'm indignant at the claim that Asians are all the same kind of person, they're all the same kind of faceless, test-taking robot with no personality. We have to look past race in this country. And I wrote this book, hopefully, to heal America and to bring Americans together in service of meritocracy.
So I asked Vivek Ramaswamy this question yesterday.
I found this clip really interesting. Kenny Zhu, he did a little study, and he determined that, you know, it's kind of a projection, an estimate, but he projects that Asian Americans would be 43% of Harvard grad students or Harvard students if there wasn't some kind of a cap on the Asian population, which even with the cap, if whether it's there or not, he's saying it's 15 to 18%, which is obviously way higher than their demographic percentage in America. So it's just a fact that the Asians are succeeding at a higher rate. If America is just so racist against minority groups, how do Asians succeed?
And in fact, they out-earn white people, according to many different statistics that you could look up for yourself. But Brother Marcel, do you have a response to that clip?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fascinating, the fact that there would be a lot more Asians in Harvard if they didn't place a cap there. So it seemed like they're kind of being racist to them too, you know?
Yeah, well, it's because they want to create this perfect pizza pie of every color. And in order to do that, they have to limit the attendance of, for example, the Asian community, like he was talking about, so that they don't overtake the other colors. And then your perfect pizza pie is ruined. Again, it's just such a stupid idea. It is so dumb. It is completely ridiculous. It is nonsensical. It is counter to logic. And see, this is the thing. A racist, like an actual, somebody who actually hates other minority groups or just any race in general, somebody who hates another race versus somebody who's obsessed with this issue and virtue signals about it like the left, they have one thing in common. They are addicted to what? The superficial characteristics. They're addicted to what? Skin color. This is all they talk about. This is all they focus on. The carnal.
Well, and you know what's interesting to me about what Kenny Zhu is bringing up, and here's the thing. I don't know if this guy's religious or Christian or Baptist or anything like that, but a lot of the character attributes that he's describing giving success to Chinese families are things found in the Bible.
Right.
The idea of mothers actually, you know, disciplining their children, caring about their children. He brings up the fact of studying and working hard. You know, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The Bible says get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. The Bible says how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. So according to the Bible, we're supposed to elevate, you know, seeking after knowledge and wisdom. The Bible teaches the importance of working hard and being diligent, not being lazy, redeeming the time. And so obviously those type of character attributes are going to be more blessed than a culture that essentially glorifies criminal activity, a victim type mentality. And I really get sick of even the Republicans and the whites complaining about CRT and complaining about what the left's doing as if they're somehow a victim now. They're talking about, oh, white people can't succeed now because of affirmative action and CRT and blah, blah, blah. And it's like now they're the victim. I mean, are black people the victim or because of slavery? Are white people the victim of affirmative action and CRT? You know, the only people that don't seem to be claiming to be a victim are the Asians. And I have to be honest. I think if I were going to pick a group of people that are the most discriminated and hated in our country, it's probably Asians. And I think that his testimony proves it, because I believe the ruling upper white class is intimidated by the Asians and does not want them to overtake them in positions of political power in the medical field and all these other institutions. That's why they're limiting and capping how many Asians are coming into Harvard, because they need, you know, daddy wants his little son who's stupid to get into Harvard, and they don't have enough spots, and they would let another Zhu or Jing or Chan or in there or whatever. And so they have to get their little boy into the Duke, you know, the little boys club or whatever. And that they're the actual racists, and they're the ones that are really intimidated. But instead of just playing the victim card, you know, I feel like we need to just embrace Christianity, because in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. You know, there's no free or bond. I mean, we're all one in Christ Jesus. So, you know, I really find racism just something that should just be laughed at and scorned, and that we should celebrate differences. You know, who cares if black people like watermelon? I like watermelon. Oh, they like fried chicken. I like fried chicken. You know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, and of those two things, I would agree with the fried chicken. I'm not a watermelon fan, but at the end of the day,
that's that Lebanon speaking.
That's the Lebanese in me.
Yeah,
and who knows if that, you know,
you'd probably eat crickets though.
Sounds pretty good to me. But here's my point, and you brought up
moving to Texas. I got some Texas brisket.
That's right.
Marcella, let me throw this one over to you. Let me throw this over to you, because we're talking about the, you know, kind of the antidote to all this, which is ultimately the Bible and biblical values. But you know, you're part of a local New Testament church, and the thing with you, Marcel, is you know, you and I were really close friends. But when I look at you, I don't think black man. Like I forget what even your color is, because you're just my brother in Christ. And I feel the same way about the individual that Pastor Shelley had put in charge when we were going to a church plant together in Jacksonville who was black. But it didn't even like register with me. You know, when we're all together serving God together at a local church and going out soul winning and reading our Bible, studying the Bible, talking about the Word of God and fellowshipping together, you're just my brother in Christ, and I don't care. I have more in common with someone who's an opposite race from me. I have more in common with someone who's a black person, but that is saved, than with another white or Arab person that is not saved. So what do you think about that, Marcel? Just that concept of the togetherness and the unity that we have as Bible-believing Christians, regardless of what your physical attributes are.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the Bible does emphasize to teach all nations the gospel, to preach the gospel to every creature. So, you know, it doesn't say to go preach the gospel to only white folks or only black folks, you know, because like Pastor Shelley said earlier, and what the Bible teaches, it says, you know, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but on the inward man. I mean, there's a lot of times in the Bible when, you know, a man will look on the outward appearance and it'd be wrong. For example, you have Samuel, you know, he looked at David's eldest brother. And he says, surely, you know, this is the man, you know, whom the Lord is going to choose. And, you know, God says, nope, it's not him. And he chose, you know, David, his youngest brother. So, but I just want to add to that, you know, you said, what is the antidote? You know, is the Bible, you know, the Word of God is what teaches us how to be wise and how to get wisdom and get understanding. And, you know, that's what the Bible emphasizes, to get wisdom. It says, teaching them to observe all things. But, you know, I wanted to add one thing to something that was said earlier. You know, they want to kind of give finances and give money to, you know, to black folks, you know, and I think that would be the worst thing that they could do, because the Bible says, you know, he that, you know, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, that gathered by labor shall increase. So what happens when you give people money, all you're doing is making them lazy. And, you know, when you don't have money, when you don't have all these riches, it makes you strive for more. You know, you want to have a better life, a better future, a better finances, you know. It should give you that hunger, that desire. You know, and the Bible harps on working, you know, throughout the whole Bible. You know, the Bible says 6 days shalt thou labor. You know, so if you're just giving people free money, you know, you're just making a lazy society, which is the worst thing that could be for black folks, you know. But the best thing that could be for any person would just be, you know, getting saved, you know, joining a local congregation, learning the Word of God, reading the Word of God, being under good sound preaching from the Bible, and growing in wisdom and in knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the true antidote that's going to, you know, help anybody.
Yeah, I mean, these handouts, I agree with you. If you really think that black people are poor, the worst thing you can do is just give them more free money, which is just going to basically drive them quicker into the poorhouse. But obviously what they want to do is they want to buy voters. They want to get them on the government dime, on the government tit, and basically just have them suckling on the government as their only nourishment so as to continually vote for these people to keep them in office. And they don't realize that they're doing it to their own detriment. These handouts, though, are everywhere. I've even seen that there's this new tour. It's like a golf tour. It's not the PGA Tour, but it's like a separate tour just for minorities and like black golfers. And they basically just let them play. They're not really as good at golf or anything like that, but they're just helping them out. And they're claiming like black people don't have the same opportunities. And I find it hilarious because the greatest golfer in the modern era is Tiger Woods. No one would even like, can't even think of another golfer typically than Tiger Woods. And he's black. It's like, how is the greatest golfer to ever play, arguably, especially in the modern era, a black guy? And then we have to have a special tour just for black people. And, you know, he doesn't feel as welcome or something. But, you know, even when it's a black guy that's hanging out with a bunch of white dudes, I don't feel like they seem like they're out of place or awkward. You know, at Steadfast Baptist Church, I feel like our demographics are pretty diverse. I mean, they're probably pretty representative of America. You know, mostly white, a lot of Hispanic, you know, a proportion of it is black, and then we have Asian. I mean, we have kind of a normal demographic, affirmative action, even if we're trying, I guess. But obviously, some people prefer to only go to a church where everybody looks the same as them. And, you know, Brother Marcel, you come to a church that's more white people than black people. It's not even close. But have you ever even felt like, you know, there's like people think there's something different, or you feel like you're mistreated, or you can't make friends? Or what would you say about, you know, church decisions when it comes to, you know, if everybody's white or black or Asian, or what are your thoughts there?
I mean, I feel like we all have the same opportunities given us. You know, anybody could serve in the church in any capacity that you want to. Ever since I moved here, I mean, I've been welcomed with open arms. Everybody received me, my family. They've been very hospitable towards us and invited us over for dinner on multiple occasions. And even our church in Jacksonville, I mean, that church was predominantly, you know, black people, you know, and a couple of white folks, you know, and it was the same atmosphere because the Bible tells us to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your brother. You know, Jesus says to love your brother as I have loved you. So that's pretty much the atmosphere. But I wanted to add another thing, too, to what you said about, you know, the government want to kind of give out handouts to get votes. It's true because if you look at, like, the New Deal, you know, they kind of started, they implemented the welfare system, you know, because the Republic, the blacks, they mostly voted for the Republicans for centuries, for years, because obviously the abolition of slavery with Abraham Lincoln. So most black people, you know, voted for Republicans until the New Deal came out, you know, in the 1900s. And that's when they started giving, you know, welfare to the minorities. And therefore the minorities, the blacks and the Latino, they started to vote for the Democrats because they were just getting free handouts. So just a political scheme to get more votes and kind of just keep the minority in their crutches.
Well, obviously, what's important is spiritual things. And what CRT does not do is address anything spiritual. It's a complete, just made-up, carnal fight that really has no bearing on New Testament Christianity. I find it completely absurd that Baptists would be bringing this junk into their church, like David Platt or even other liberal preachers and teachers. And we haven't here, you know, at a Baptist church, we don't want that junk. We want to, you know, dispel that type of culture. And I don't even like the fact that they try to get us on eggshells, like that we can't say words like black. Like if I just said, hey, that's a black guy, or this is a Hispanic guy, or he likes watermelon, or I like fried chicken. You know, I don't want to get to a culture or society where we can't make these jokes anymore, where, you know, I don't even have a problem with blackface or whiteface or whatever. I mean, look, they have blackface. Well, there's those two guys that made the White Chicks movie. They dress up like white girls or something bizarre. I don't care. It's all fun. Who, You know, why can't we just celebrate our differences and enjoy differences and bring back the laughter and you know, basically just have fun? Well, it's because the devil just wants us to all hate each other, and he just wants to kill us all. And he hates everyone. He hates white, black, you know, every single color, Asian, Hispanic. And we really need to resist that with the gospel, with the messages of love that come from God's word. And look at the world through a Baptist bias, not a CRT bias.
Yeah, this is a spiritual issue, ultimately. Anybody who has a problem with you because of your skin color, it's because they're just overly carnal. And instead of smearing them and hating them and writing them off as deplorables of society, we need to get them saved if they're not already, bring them into church and teach them the word of God. And that's how they'll change. Not by shaming, guilting, all the rest of it that you're seeing right now, courtesy of these Marxist brainwashing, you know, things that we're seeing, like CRT and all the rest of it, these theories that are actually totally false. And another thing, too, that is a phenomenon is this idea that a lot of the inner city communities that leftists, again, they want to pat them on the head and they want to just kind of patronize them and you know, claim that they're helping them when they're actually making it worse. Here's something from the Daily Mail, and this is unbelievable. Biden administration to fund programs that hand out crack pipes to prevent infection and promote racial equity. Racial equity as a result of hanging out crack pipes. So this is the leftist antidote. This is how they want to help the inner city communities. Give them crack pipes. Give them rap music. Give them more of a degenerate culture, whereas the true resolution to all this is right here, the word of God. Go into these communities and preach them the gospel. That's what will actually solve the problem. And guess what happens then? They become victorious. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." When I see my brother in Christ there, Brother Marcel, I don't see a victim. I see someone who's victorious. When I see anybody who's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they're white, black, green, yellow, or blue, I see someone who is victorious. Because if you've gotten saved, you have won the victory. You are victorious. And this victim mentality that's associated with CRT, looking at people of a specific skin color and automatically viewing them as a victim, as someone who is oppressed, has no place with regard to biblical Christianity. It is anti-Bible. It is not taught in Scripture. We are victorious once we've believed on Christ.
Well, that was a great ending. I really appreciate Brother Marcel for coming. Yeah, give us your last thoughts here. We appreciate you coming on as a guest. And go ahead and give us some closing thoughts here, Brother Marcel.
Yes, sir. I just want to say thank you guys for having me on. One thing I would say is this, like, let's say CRT was correct. Let's say we did live in a nation that was fully against black people or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, in God's eyes, you know, he doesn't see us as a black person. He doesn't see us as a white person. He sees us as an individual, as a soul, as a person that he loves for and cares for. You know, and the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." So because God loves all of us, he gives all of us the choice to get saved by trusting in his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, let's say you feel like you are oppressed, you know, if you get saved and you believe on Jesus Christ, you know, we all have the same playing field. You know, in a verse of a scripture that can be comforting, it says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work, to his works. So, you know, the work that you do here on this earth for God, whether you're white, whether you're black, Asian, it doesn't matter. God is going to reward you according to your work. So if you serve God now on this earth, if you work for the Lord, he's going to reward you. He's going to pay you for the things you've done for him on this earth. So, you know, if you feel like you are oppressed, you know, just know that when you get to heaven, when you get to meet Jesus Christ, you know, he's going to pay you for everything you've done. So just keep that as an encouragement, as something to think about.
Amen. Thanks so much for coming on and joining us, Brother Marcel. And I concur with you guys. This is a spiritual fight. And the greatest thing you can do is preach the gospel. You know, with Joe Biden's plan, Pillar and Ground said it's actually called the Hunter Biden Equity Program.
appropriate title.
But that's going to do it for us this evening. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Baptist Bias. You can check us out on all kinds of podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. It's all over the place. Ben, sign us out.
Folks, we're not white supremacists. We're Christ supremacists. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys again after a while.